another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I'm Constance Arnold, your host of the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. And, of course, today I am broadcasting live from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. And, of course, you know I have just a little touch of Southern flavor for you every Sunday. And I'm so excited that you've joined me today from all over the world, from South America, Denmark, Africa, and Hawaii. And so, you know, I always say that if you've joined me today, I believe that there is something deep on the inside of you that was attracted here today to receive just the answers that you desire. Well, how are you doing? I'm doing really well. Let me see. I've had a very busy and interesting week here in Atlanta. And even though it's still summer and we're having some beautiful hot days, I noticed, I think it was yesterday morning, that we're beginning to get little hints of fall approaching, because I walk sometimes early in the morning, and I noticed that this morning it was just a little chilly, so we know that fall is slowly approaching here in the U.S. And I'm just so amazed at how quickly the year has gone by. What about you? And I hope that you are deliberately choosing to live life to the fullest, no matter what your circumstances are. Well, thank you so much for all of your emails. Man, I received so many emails last week about my wonderful interview with Ave Maria, sharing her experience with me about going from $55,000 per year working at Lockheed Martin to now really manifesting millions. And so thank you so much for those wonderful emails. But today, I'm not going to delay you. I'm going to be getting right to my very special guest, Dr. William Kent Larkin, and he's going to be sharing about the neuroscience of joy and attraction. So let's listen to these quick commercials, and I will be right back with Dr. Larkin.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com.
I am thrilled to announce our presenters on our upcoming Cruise of a Lifetime on December 13th to the Mayan Ruins. The phenomenal Lee Harris is flying in from the UK to give us channeled information right in Tulum. And shaman Stefan Will, flying in from Spain, will be doing incredible meditations and emotional clearing work. We have one of the most dynamic speakers and self-development experts, Constance Arnold, coming in to help us release the past. And hugely popular astrologer Gene Wiley flying in as well, telling us what the stars mean in 2013. All designed to give you incredible insight and advice on how to create the best in 2013. So come aboard our high energy trip. Time is of the essence. So sign up today to get the best rates, best cabins, and best cabin mates. Go to lawofattractioncruise.com.
Are you ready to create the life of your dreams? Imagine partnering with a coach that can help you manifest extraordinary success. Constance Arnold has been a licensed therapist and coach for over 25 years and has successfully worked with more than 10,000 clients. Constance will help you clarify your goals, eliminate self-defeating beliefs, and create strategic plans to manifest your dreams. Constance offers a variety of coaching packages, pay-as-you-go, half-yearly, and yearly coaching. Contact Constance today for guaranteed coaching that produces extraordinary and permanent results. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Well, I'm back, and I'm really excited about the show tonight, and I'm going to take my time reading Dr. Larkin's bio because it's so well-deserving. Dr. William Kent Larkin is the director of the Applied Neuroscience Institute. He was educated at Yale, and he holds a doctorate in theology and psychology from Harvard. He has a postdoctoral certificate in neuropsychology. He was for 10 years the voice of psychology for the Armed Forces Network, broadcasting to 72 countries, and his program Breakthrough with Dr. Larkin won 52 national and international awards. His work focuses on the neuroplasticity of the brain and growing the neuropositive mind. And I was really attracted to Dr. Larkin as someone referred him to me, and I listened to his work and was just fascinated by it. He is the author of 5 books, and he's just going to be a real blessing to you tonight. So, Dr. William Kent Larkin, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
So, Dr. Larkin, what city are you calling from today?
I'm calling from San Diego, California.
Oh, I've never been there. Everybody says it's so beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. 75 degrees today.
Wow.
Beautiful summer day.
Well, you know, I'm just so interested in you and your work, so we're going to go ahead and get started. Share with our listeners a little bit about who you are and your work, and then we're going to get into the interview.
Well, my work in neuroscience is really the application of neuroscience. It has been neuroscience research and now the application of neuroscience research. My area of specialization was the left frontal lobe, a complicated issue called inhibition versus disinhibition, and my research was directly aimed at sexual addiction. And that really was where I began to look at issues of happiness, because the left frontal lobe is really very dedicated to happiness in the brain. It's a sort of center of happiness in the brain. And then as a result of looking at some of the saddest and I think most depressed people in our culture, these sexual addicts, I began to ask a very important question, and that is, where is happiness? Where does happiness reside? Who are the happy people? And instead of just looking at who were the sad and sick people and getting them well, I decided to look at where happiness was and where satisfaction was and where wholeness was, and to see what could be learned from that. I had always been interested in the area of meaning and vision in life and purposefulness, intention in life, having purpose, having meaning, having vision in life, and the impact of that on mental health. Part of the left frontal lobe has to do with visioning and direction. And so out of that whole kind of mix came this interest in, you know, where are the people who are happy? Where are the people who are doing very well? What can we learn from the people who are doing very well, and how do we apply that? And in the process of that journey, which started about 20 years ago, actually, it started even at the beginning of my doctoral work, but wasn't as focused as it came to be. And that was looking at the whole issue of the importance of positivity. And in the process of looking at these issues of the brain's ability to change and grow and change itself, and issues of what I've come to call neuropositivity, I came across this whole business of the law of attraction, and I thought, this is really an interesting take on the kind of work that I do. So it's been interesting to do this application in neuroscience. A part of the explosion in neuroscience is because we have all kinds of new ways, we have all kinds of new instrumentation. We have new ways of measuring energy that we never had before. with the combination of the computer, with MRI and CAT scan and all of the devices we have, there's an enormous amount of research that has not yet been applied. And that's kind of the work that I'm in today, is boiling this down to some simple, hopefully not super simple, but elegant sense, so that we see this relationship between what we call law of attraction and what we're finding in neuroscience.
Well, we're going to be talking about neuroscience, joy, and attraction. So let's talk about what does neuroscience have to really do with the law of attraction? You know, Dr. Larkin, people are so excited about the law of attraction and the movie The Secret. So share with our listeners, mm-hmm. how the two related.
Well, I'd start by sharing with you one experiment that is a result of, or a set of experiments that's been done at the University of Wisconsin by a professor and researcher by the name of Richard Davidson. Dr. Davidson heeded a call from the Dalai Lama to the neuroscience research community. The Dalai Lama posed a question to the neuroscience research community, and he asked, "Do you think that meditation could change the structure of the brain?" And of course, you know, scientists being scientists, many wanted nothing to do with this, but there were already a group of neuroscientists who were interested, particularly Richie Davidson, and some of them took on the challenge of, well, can meditation change the structure of the brain? And what they began to look at was what happened in the brains of people who had meditated a lot. And we could do this now because there's a fifth brain wave that we have known existed, but we couldn't do much with it because we didn't have the instrumentation to measure it. And it's called a gamma brain wave. Everybody has heard of alpha, beta, delta, and theta brain waves. Well, there is a fifth one, and that's a gamma brain wave. And because we could measure gamma brain waves, Richard Davidson brought over monks from India, and particularly from the Dharamsala monks, who were a part of the Dalai Lama's community, monks who had meditated for thousands and thousands of hours. The minimum was at least 12,000 hours of meditation. And and Richard Davidson began to test the brains of these monks to see what was the difference. And basically what they measured was gamma waves. Now, gamma waves are very fast, rapid, oscillating, very fast moving, very rapid moving gamma waves that have to do with compassion. They are in a sense, a measure of compassionate meditation. And if you can get these gamma waves going, they're very high, rapid, oscillating gamma waves. And there's an abbot, an anonymous abbot in India, who is the expert, the Olympic gold medalist, if you will, of the fastest, longest gamma waves that have been recorded anywhere. And what these gamma waves do, Richardson found out, was these rapid movements of these waves indicate, because these monks are engaged in the thing called compassionate meditation, they're engaged in exercising love, or compassion for themselves, compassion for others, and particularly meditating in compassion for the world. And what Davidson found was several interesting things. The first thing was that these monks had smaller amygdala. Now, the amygdala of the brain is that part of the limbic system of the brain, of the core sort of animalistic part of the brain. I'm simplifying this a lot. But that core animalistic part of the brain that has to do with strong emotion and particularly has to do with negative emotion. And what Davidson found out was that the amygdala in these monks was much smaller. The neural pathways around the amygdala, associated with amygdala, was much smaller, and that these monks were extremely kind, extremely compassionate. Their exercise of compassionate meditation had certainly shown in their lives. What was also interesting was, though, that he had a group of students begin to do compassionate meditation at the same time he started doing the research with these monks. And for about a week, the students did it, and they were able to register changes in the brains of the students in just a week's time. So it doesn't take necessarily to change this amygdala, which is associated with negative emotion, hate, resentment, anxiety, dread. The strongest negative emotions in us have their origin in the activity of this amygdala, and it was as though other parts of the brain are kind of dumping the hormones on that amygdala that calm it down and change its structure from being so large and active and reactive in these folks. The other thing, the third thing that Davidson found, was that when people in the room with the monks, people who were just in the room with the monks, while they were doing this meditating, they decided to take a look at their brain. And they found out that the same thing was going on in their brains as a result of being in the same room with the monks. So obviously, some kind of energy that we have to be able to measure, that we don't have the tools to measure, we don't have the instrumentation to measure, was being emitted from these monks and was traveling to other people in the same room with them and changing their brains as well. Now, I don't know what that energy is, but I do know that energies exist that we don't know anything about, and I suspect that in Law of Attraction, we're talking about harnessing those kinds of energies that we describe as acting something like a vibration or something like an attraction that opens us or causes us to draw to us those things within a range of what we are deeply knowing and believing, that they draw to us within that range what those things are. And my understanding is we call those manifestations, we call those all kinds of things. So at least that's the start of it. The other thing that I would point out did you want to jump in here, Constance?
No, I'm listening. I want all of my listeners to really hear what you're saying, because Dr. Larkin, so many people are talking about the Law of Attraction and the power of intention and focusing your thoughts, and many people feel like, well, Constance, I've been doing that, but I don't see a change. Nothing's happening in my life.
Well, that's one of the problems with that, is that we have a superficial idea of this Law of Attraction. I want you to consider that these monks who had their gamma waves measured to see if it changed their brain had been meditating for at a minimum over 12,000 hours. Now, for sure, we don't have time to meditate for 12,000 hours, but if the first Law of Attraction, the first part of that law is ask. The first part of that law is, think. It's deeper than just thinking. And when we say ask, it's deeper than just asking. When you talk to people who are in religious science, one of the places from which Law of Attraction has sprung in the modern day, they talk about they know this and they know that. And I listen to them talk and I think, well, you don't know anything. Your knowing is so superficial, it's just all on the intellectual level of your brain. The way we ask and the way we think and the way we know is really much, much deeper than that. It's much more profound than that. When I'm asking, if I'm going to expect a result like Law of Attraction is kind of advertising, I'm going to be talking about asking at a very deep, pervasive level that is joined with my emotion. It isn't just going to be my thinking it, it's going to be my feeling it. It isn't just going to be my thinking and feeling it, it's going to be my knowing it at a very deep level. In the Bible, for example, knowing, when the word knowing is used, it was used sexually. When a man knew a woman, knowing a woman meant sexual intercourse. That was the context of this deep kind of knowing. Knowing just isn't going from one day to the next, well, I think I want this, and I think I want that, and I want this, and I want that, and I think I want it, not knowing that you really want it, thinking that you want it, believing that you want it, but not settled into the deep knowing that is also, let's just stick with emotion today. If you are wanting, in law of attraction, as I understand something, and you're just thinking it, well, you know, good luck. It means more than just thinking it. It means knowing it, and it means knowing it pervasively in your being in a very basic, very broad, very whole, comprehensive sense. Ernest Holmes, who's one of the writers of Law of Attraction, called this mental equivalent, that you got to get to the place where you can taste it, where you can smell it, where you can feel it, where it's even deeper than your senses, where you know beyond knowing, beyond knowing. Now, if we think back in our lives about those times when things showed up for us that we really wanted, when we got what we really wanted, we can think back to those times when, I can think back to those times before I ever knew anything about this, when I wanted something and I wanted it so deeply and I wanted it so badly and I wanted it so pervasively that I did everything I could and I was open to all the ways that occurred, and it happened. And that was before I knew anything about it. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't always instant. It was, you know, some things took years and years and years. For example, one of the things was I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, beyond any question, nobody could tell me anything else, that I wanted to get a doctorate, that I was going to have those three stripes across my arms and the robe that I wore, no matter what. Now, I knew that when I was 18 years old. And I never dreamed it would come from Yale and come from Harvard. But I knew it so deeply that those things came into my life in an amazing way. I was a poor kid from a blue-collar family growing up in a town of 3,000 people in southwestern Iowa. And I wanted this thing so deeply that I brought it in my life, and it was more than just that I created it. Now, there have been other times in my life when I have wanted things, and I've wanted it with my whole being. I think the difficulty with Law of Attraction is that we think we can superficially get these things by just kind of wishing them.
Right.
By just kind of thinking them. And it's a much deeper thing than that. If we don't know, let's say we don't know anything about Law of Attraction. Let's just divorce ourselves from that. If you put in your Google search line motivation, or if you put in goals and behavior, you're going to get 10 and 20 pages of research studies that have been done on goals, on the importance of goals. We know that when people set goals, and we know that when people believe in those goals, and we know that when they take the right steps in the direction of those goals, and they don't let go of them, we have ample proof all over the place that those goals are satisfied, that those goals are completed. We know the importance and motivation of intention. We know the importance and research that now exists about wanting. But I think the problem with these people who listen to The Secret is that the secret is there to give you an idea of something that is very, very deeply profound. For example, most people don't know this, and most alcoholics and addicts wouldn't believe that it's true. They wouldn't believe that The Secret is true, but the first three steps of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous are basically, in another format, ask, believe, receive. And you get sober if you ask and believe and are open deeply enough and work especially those first three steps. But it doesn't, you don't get sober in Narcotics Anonymous simply because you are superficially believing that first step. So a lot of people who encountered this secret thing were introduced to a profound idea about energy, I think.
Right. Well, you talk about the emotional gem, and you've talked about our emotions, and our emotions are so powerful and awesome. What is the emotional gem?
Well, the emotional gem is really, if you are believing, if you are knowing what you're deeply wanting, and you know that you want what you want, and you're believing that you're going to get it, and you are in the mindset of what we call law of attraction, you're going to exist in a pretty high up spiral of positivity. Positivity is going to be your daily friend. You're going to be a positive person. If you want law of attraction to work for you, get very deep into gratitude. If you want your brain to integrate, the best antitoxin and the best integrator of the wholeness of the brain is positive emotion, what we call neuropositivity. The emotional gym is something that I put together to teach people the importance of staying in an up spiral, the importance of positivity as opposed to negativity. You're not going to attract into your life what you want if you spend half your time negative and half your time positive. If there's an up spiral and a down spiral, what we have to learn is to make this law of attraction work in our lives in a very daily, everyday way. We have to stay in an up spiral. We have to stay in an up spiral that tends to look at things in gratitude, particularly in gratitude. But I work with five emotions as the gymnasium of this up spiral that opens us to be receptive. And they are gratitude, peace, joy, hope, and love. And what I would tell people, if law of attraction isn't working for you, how are you with these five emotions? Can you feel them? Do you have emotional muscle? Can you feel these five emotions? And I start with gratitude. Can you feel gratitude instantly? If I say feel it instantly, can you feel it right now? Just go to gratitude and feel it, not think it, feel it. Feel gratitude. And then the second measure of emotional muscle is duration. Can you make it last? Can you make that emotional muscle last? Can you make gratitude last? And the third is intensity. Can you intensify that emotion? On a scale of 1 to 10, can you feel gratitude at a 3? And by your own choice, take it to an 8. Can you take it to a 9? By your own choice, can you move it so that you can intensify? So instant, duration, and intensity are the three measures of positive emotional muscle. Now, we do this all the time with negative emotion. People get a negative emotion, they get angry, they get resentful, they nurse that negative emotion, they make it last forever, then they justify reasons for having it, they intensify it, they increase the negative feeling, and they got a whole negativity bomb going on the inside of them. All that's going to attract is illness and disease and problems and more of what's like it. So if we can do it with negative emotion, the emotional gym teaches people to exercise five emotions and to grow muscle. So they stay in an up spiral of positivity where there's the greatest will bring into their lives what it is that they want.
So, Dr. Larkin, are you saying that for our listeners out there tonight that people can right now begin to deliberately choose to be grateful and have love in their lives? Can we instantly bring joy and all of those wonderful emotions into our lives now?
Absolutely. You see, our emotions, the problem that we have with this is that we think our emotions are just kind of given. That our emotional system is only an indicative system, that it only indicates what's happening inside of us, and it only indicates what's happening around us. And so we just react with our emotions. But our emotions are not just for reacting, our emotions are for choosing. And you can choose to feel the emotions that you want to feel. You can discipline your mind, which is a little more than just your brain. You can discipline your brain and your mind to feel the emotions that you want to feel in a day. Now that doesn't rule out. That doesn't mean that we're going to go pie in the sky. It just means that we're very, very sloppy about positive emotions. Negative emotions are warnings. They tell us, don't park here. Go somewhere else. Don't do this. Don't do that. Do something different. Negative emotions are warnings, but we spend our time there trying to do problem solving. You can't do problem solving unless you're in positive emotion. It's the positive emotion of an up spiral. Now, you can feel gratitude by choosing to feel gratitude. you can feel love. It's the hardest one of the five, really. But start with gratitude, and start with just looking at anything around you on a scale of 1 to 10. I tell people, okay, feel gratitude at a 1. If 10 is a whole lot of gratitude and 1 is a little bit, just start at 1. Just feel grateful over the fact that your bowels move today. If they didn't move for 2 days, you'd be upset. If they didn't move for 3 days, you'd be in trouble.
Right.
So at least start with, you know, I can be grateful that my bowels move today. I can be grateful that I can breathe. I can be grateful, and just start at a 1, feeling at an emotional level. Go to the emotions. Use that emotional system, not just to react to things. Instead of reacting to things, cause the emotion. Feel the emotion. Live the emotion. You talked earlier, Constance, about going on a morning walk.
Right.
And you were noticing the beginning of fall. Well, we need to go on those morning walks, and we need to do those things that cause us to notice and to bring us into feelings of gratitude, because that opens the energy in us to be receptive and the energy to create the worlds that we want to create. We create in an up spiral of positivity, and we can make those emotions happen. It's our responsibility to make gratitude happen in us, not to wait for something to make us grateful. It's our job to hope. It's our job to learn the emotion of hope, and it's our job to feel hope, and it's our job to learn to feel it at such a high level that once you feel hope, you're more than halfway home in what you want in your life, because hope opens us to possibility, and possibility opens us in this upward spiral to creating, to be in the creative cycle of the things that we want in our lives. But we're very sloppy with negative emotion in our lives. We think of emotion only in terms of cause and effect, that something outside of me or some deep dark mood in me causes me to feel how I feel. Well, no, you cause you to feel how you feel. And if you want to be good at law of attraction, you've got to get a handle on what you feel. You've got to get a handle on these positive emotions, and you've got to be able to create them in your life, because they come from the inside of you. They come from the interior of you. They come from your ability to create. And in your ability to create, you bring this positive emotional life to life.
Now,
that makes sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, if you're just joining me, my very special guest is Dr. William Larkin, and we're talking about the neuroscience of joy and attraction. And Dr. Larkin, you talk about personal strengths. Why are those important?
Well, we all have, every single person who's listening to this program has strengths. You have what we call 5 signature strengths, and you have even more than that. I work with people to identify 10 top strengths. And those 10 top strengths are the super neural highways in your brain. Most people don't even know what they are. If I ask an audience that I speak to list their weaknesses, they can go down, they can write them down, bing, 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 and be pretty right. If I ask them to list your strengths, you'd get this faraway look. They write down maybe 1 or 2 or 3, and 2 of those aren't usually right, because we have never focused on our strengths, and we've certainly never taken the scientific tests that tell us what our real strengths are. If people are in an up spiral, and if they stay positive, they are most likely using their strengths, but still they don't know it. Our strengths are the super neural highways in our brain, where by using your strengths, you stay in an up spiral, and using your strengths, which I promise every single listener you have that they have, by using those strengths, it's like using the smallest amount of effort for the greatest outcome. You use the smallest effort in your super highways, and you get the greatest outcome. It's enormous power that we have in these strengths that we have. And these strengths are one of the things that when we use them in an up spiral, that we create and we also attract to us and bring to us as a result of using these strengths what we're putting out. We attract according to the vibration we're putting out. And that vibration is deeply grounded in the strengths we have and in the emotions we have learned to feel.
So talk, what is a vibration? You know, so many people have their own definition of it. I know you talk about vibrations and vibe core. What do you mean by that?
Well, I use the term vibe core. Our kids are onto this. Kids get this. Kids talk about so-and-so has a vibe. And I'm like, is it vibe? We have a nightclub called The Vibe. And people are sensitive to, I give off this vibe. You walk into a room and a person, there's a certain vibration in the room, or a person has a vibe they give off. Well, that's basically what we mean. What we're really talking about is an energy that we don't know how to measure yet. There's some energy we have that we put out. Now, you for sure know when you're in a room or with a person who's toxic, who's negative, because that person's vibe is just, it just brings you down. There's something about them, something that they say and they do and they are that just sucks the life out of us. Well, there's an opposite of that too, and that's this positive, powerful vibration that I call the vibe core. And I think our vibe that's at the core of us is based in three things. And that is, the first one is the most difficult. The first one, when I work with people, is the most difficult for us to get at, even though we think we know. And that is, the first part of our vibration is knowing what we want. Mm. People think they know what they want, but people don't know what they want nearly as much as they think they know what they want. And that's one of the biggest problems with law of attraction, is that people are asking for a lot of things that if they got them, wouldn't be good for them, and they don't really want in the first place, and they know it very deeply, but they're not in touch with that. So you've got to know what you want. The second part of our vibe core that we work with and teach is believing you're going to get it. On a scale of 1 to 100, how much do you believe you're going to get it? Well, that's a dead giveaway. This belief is not a matter of faith, really. As we see it, it's not a matter of trusting. It's really a matter of how much you know your strengths and how much you're using your strengths. If you know your strengths and you're plugged into your strengths, you, by God, believe that what you're doing is going to happen. That is the highly motivated person. Now, faith can have a part of that, belief can have a part of that, but this believing has to do with using your strengths. When you use your strengths, you put off a very powerful vibe. And the third part of it is openness. Some people are so narrow and so constricted about what they want that they think it's got to come in just exactly the kind of package that their limited imagination is exercising. But what we've got to do in this whole thing is, the third part is openness. And that is, I've got to be open to all of the ways that what I want can happen to me, all the ways what I want, all the different colored packages, all the different what I want can come to me. And very oftentimes, what I want comes to me in ways that I would never have expected, that I would never have believed, in people I wouldn't have believed would have brought it, that I just have to have an incredible openness in me, receptivity in me. So vibe core is knowing what you want. From a scale of 1 to 100, the higher the better, the stronger your vibe. Believing you're going to get it from 1 to 100. The top of it is certainty and clarity. And then finally, openness is a high degree of receptivity. And we measure it on a scale of 1 to 100. To be as high as possible on those scales is the most positive high vibration that you go forth with.
Well, Dr. Larkin, what about the role of visualization? You know, when people really know what they want, should they begin to see it and feel it and experience it prior to getting it, just like you always knew that you would have your doctorate degrees? So how can a person out there tonight who may want a different job or want more money or want love in their life, how can they use the pictures or their mental visualization in bringing that into their lives?
Well, some people are good at visualization. Some people are good at imaging. That's one way to do it. dream it up, draw it. I have a daughter who is a designer, and she is able to draw and visualize what she wants, to get it into her mind and to draw it and to visualize it, and that's a wonderful vehicle for her. I can't do that the way she does it. When I wanted a doctorate, when I wanted higher education, I certainly never visualized Harvard. I never imagined Yale. I didn't even know where they were. You know, it came into my life in a most amazing way. So a lot of it is believing. Visualization is a wonderful tool for imagination. Imagination is a wonderful tool. Visualizing, these are tools that get us to be more positive, that get us to believe more of what we want, and get us to be more open about what it is that we want.
So what if a person is out there and they say, well, Dr. Larkin, I don't really know what I want. I might be a baby boomer, and I thought I was going to retire, but things didn't turn out the way I planned. So how would people who say, I don't know what I want, what's my purpose, what's my destiny, what would you say to people tonight?
Well, you know, I get that question all the time. I think it's a profound question in our culture. It's a profound question because so many people have the capacity to get pretty close to what it is that they want. We have so much enormous opportunity. But the question the people that I work with are usually wealthy, and they have all the material things, and they know that's not where it's at. They know they're wonderful things, but when I ask them beyond the material, what their problem is that they've had all the goodies, they've had all the material stuff, and when I say, well, what do you want? It begins to be a very difficult question. What we want, knowing what we want, is a process. And I've written a whole book that's really about this process, but you don't know, I don't think, what you really want unless you can get into a state of flow. A psychologist by the name of Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi discovered the state of flow, and from this state of flow, one with the music, that's the best way to describe it, when I'm sort of one with my world, one with my environment. Esther Hicks, who I think is one of the most wonderful teachers of the law of attraction in the world today, describes it as appreciating. I would describe it as appreciating gratitude. When I get in this state of appreciating, being grateful, when I'm one with the world around me, when I'm in this state of oneness, then what I want deeply, my deep desires and my real desires and my wantings, bubble to the surface. Now, sometimes people have got to get through things like cars and relationships and, you know, what I want is another person, what I want is another person. Well, if you're wanting another person so badly and you're wanting to be in love so badly, the problem is your own relationship with yourself. That's got to be dealt with first. Wanting what you want in such a way for you, and you grow you, and you get so busy in growing you that you forget that you want somebody else, and then somebody else finds you because you've suddenly become attractive because you're growing you in the ways in which you love you. So much of what we want, you know, we can want the cars and we can want the houses and we can want all this sort of stuff, but, and that's fine, there's nothing wrong with that. There are, people have got to have that, they've got to experience that, they've got to get that, but there's a deeper wanting underneath that. There are deeper wantings that getting those things and sometimes not having those things leads us to what are the deeper desires in us that bubble up to that come from being one with the world and one with the music. And there are a whole lot of ways we get there.
And so, Dr. Larkin, what tips would you like to lead people tonight about how they can begin to maybe be more positive or really always be in that upward spiral when they may be in very difficult situations?
Well, I think there's certainly, I don't think, there are certainly issues of complicated grief, and there are issues of deep loss, and there are certainly issues of pain. But what I would caution in all of those situations is that there is in them these situations are not a path for despair. That we do not have, we are not given this sort of path for despair in this life. We've glamorized it, and we've kind of romanticized suffering and romanticized despair to the point, I think, where we have become too much victims. And at the same time when we suffer, and at the same time that there are difficulties, we also have a capacity to choose to love. We have a capacity to choose for appreciation, for gratitude. We have the capacity, even in the deepest sorrow of our lives, to dance. So what did Zorba do when his son died? Zorba finally danced. He had to dance. However, what I would say is that most people aren't in those states. Most of the people that I work with and I talk to are just very sloppy about negativity. They're very sloppy about suffering. They're very sloppy about, you know, they're so focused on the despair and the difficulty and the problems in their lives. It's so easy to talk about how bad the weather is. You know, start by stopping talking about how bad the weather is. Don't watch television for 90 days. Don't watch the news for 90 days. Don't watch anything negative for 90 days. And work on developing some positivity. Work on looking for what is good. Work on looking for, there's an enormous amount of research today called benefits research. And what we know from the benefits research is that the healthier people are there. The people who can look and find the benefits are there. Now, this sounds very Pollyanna, but this is exactly the game Pollyanna played in the movie. She played the glad game. No matter what bad happened, she played the, what do I have to be glad about? What do I have to be glad about? Well, and we called her Pollyanna for doing that. Well, that's essentially what we've got to do, is we've got to look at what is the negative. You know, mothers who lost sons to drunk drivers began Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And they are the vehicle through which we have the laws today against drunk driving. We have to look for the benefits. We have to look for what is good. And we especially, this is sort of my key core message, that is especially, we have to know how to feel positive emotion and to feel it at whatever level we can feel it and to grow it and to work on it and to bring it into our lives more fully. Joy is really for everyone. And we're lazy about it. We wait for something out there to happen before we can feel joy. And we can feel joy every day of our lives if we choose to do it and if we grow it.
Well, Dr. Larkin, you talked about meditation at the beginning of the program. Do you practice meditation, and how has it changed your life? And would you strongly encourage listeners tonight to begin that practice?
Well, meditation is very difficult for the Western mind. If it's this emptying kinds of, there are all kinds of different kinds of meditation. The meditation that I would have people start with is emotional meditation. We have four tracks at the end of a CD that we produced that is gratitude, peace, love, and joy. And for 2 minutes, the person is led into feeling gratitude for 2 minutes, feeling joy for 2 minutes, feeling hope for 2 minutes, and feeling peace for 2 minutes. That's 8 minutes of meditation. What I do for my meditation is I have a headset, and I have the music that I love plugged into that headset that arouses the emotions I want to experience, and I walk for an hour and a half around the lake that's in my backyard and feel those emotions, and I have some dances called the Dances of the Emotional Gym, movements that I use to arouse those emotions so that I begin my day with the emotions that I want to experience. And that's usually where I start, folks.
And I think that people can begin with 8 minutes. And I didn't know you could dance, Dr. Larkin, so...
Oh, I can boogie. I can boogie.
That's very interesting to hear. And lastly, what about the power of words? When people want to evoke or bring more joy and happiness into their lives, what about the words that they speak, and what happens to our brain when we speak positive words?
Well, when we speak positive words and we feel the emotions to those words, it integrates our brain. It's the best antitoxin there is. Positivity, feeling positivity, positive, is the best antitoxin for your body.
I'll have to remember that. Well, tell our listeners, Dr. Larkin, about your website, about your services, about your coaching, about your seminars, etc.
Well, I am a worldwide speaker, and you can go to my website, which is GOTOANI or GOTOANI.com. GOTOANI.com, and you will see the books and resources, and we train Up Spiral Life group leaders. We have a 12-step group called an Up Spiral Life, which is 12 steps to get people into an up spiral of positivity so the law of attraction and all of these energies are working in their lives. We have coach training programs in neuropositivity. What I've really been talking to you about today is called neuroplasticity, changing the neural pathways in the brain to positivity, neuropositivity. And that's on our website. And the books that I write are on the website.
Right, and I noticed that you work with a lot of counselors and therapists and doctors, really helping them to really maybe change or to enhance how they help people.
Oh my God, you got to wake these doctors and therapists up. All they want to do is focus on what's negative and what's wrong and give you another pill. You know, and they need to be educated too. They need to be awakened to the fact that all of this focus on the past and on your darkness and on your shadow side and on depression and on all this sort of stuff is, you know, it's just a part of the picture. You got to focus on those things sometimes, but healing is much larger than that. That this whole area of thriving and flourishing and neuropositivity is just exploding, and our professionals badly need to know this.
You know, that's so true, because I'm a therapist of 25 years, and that's why I tell people I do more coaching now, which is moving people from where they are to where they desire to be, versus going back and rehashing the past, etc. And I think that what you have is so powerful, and it's so needed by therapists all over the world, and I'm just so grateful for your work. So Dr. Larkin, are you writing any more books, or what are you doing in the future? What's going on with you?
Well, I am I just finished a book called 12 New Steps for a New Millennium that has been out for about 3 months. It's on Amazon. I am just kind of resting and relaxing this summer, but I'm putting together in my mind my next book, which will be called The Emotional Gym.
Ah, that's really needed. And as a therapist, after hearing you, I'm certainly going to go online and purchase your products and utilize them in my work. And I just want to share with my listeners all over the world tonight that I feel that Dr. Larkin has really shared profound information, that if you listen to this podcast again and again and just begin to, sounds like he just takes small baby steps toward what you want for change, that you could really begin to see change in our lives. So just really quickly, Dr. Larkin, when we get information and really, I guess, have a certainty about it or know it, how long does it take for change to occur in our lives?
Sometimes all at once. Sometimes immediately, sometimes it takes a while, sometimes it happens and we don't even know that it has.
Ah, well, that's great news, and I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on tonight. I'm going to strongly encourage all of my listeners to go to Dr. Larkin's website and to purchase his products, as I'm going to do, so that you can begin shifting and healing and really changing your life. Just another quick reminder, also go to loaradionetwork.com and take a look at all of the wonderful hosts that we have available for you. You know, basically my show is about spirituality and going inside and your mind and science, and bridging the gap between spirituality, which I believe is all one anyway, but we have other wonderful hosts on the network. And additionally, I want you to join me in December in Cozumel, Mexico. What a beautiful city that is. And I'm going to be one of the featured speakers. And we're going to have a great time, and I would love to meet you in person. Well, this is Constance Arnold. Thank you so much for joining me. Tell three of your friends about the show, and I'm so grateful for all of the emails. Of course, my website is fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and I have designed tools with you in mind. I have coaching. I have affirmations there for you to download. So visit my website. If you want to send me an email, you can email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Well, thank you again for joining me. This is Constance Arnold. I'll talk to you next week. God loves you. I love you. And guess what? Expect a miracle.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.